afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Tuesday, March 28, 2017. We're going to go out of order, and I'm going to open two public hearings. The first on House Bill 2225, and the second on House Bill 2946, and call up Representative Wisnant.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2225 requires state agency to report to the Director of Department of Administrative Services of any budgeted positions with an agency that have remained vacant for 6 months. If agency wants to keep unfilled position, it shall submit to director specific and valid reason for retaining the position. And if it's determined by the director that reasons for retention are insufficient, the agency is prohibited from filling the position. House Bill 2946 expands definition of state agency for purpose of Oregon Transparency website.
Great. Welcome, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Vice Chairs, Honorable Committee members. Thank you for hearing House Bill 2225 relating to vacant positions in state agencies. I've actually worked on this initiative beginning in 2011 with House Bill 3360. I'm sure that Representative Hovey remembers that's when he and I co-chaired the General Government Committee. The House was 3030. And we looked at this bill. I discovered in research with the Ways and Means that the state has a significant number of vacant positions that have been vacant for 6 months or longer. I introduced my bill in 2011, and I talked with Joint Ways and Means co-chair, or whatever the title was, Dennis Richardson, about this situation, which the media had picked up and reported. I actually got front page Oregonian coverage on this one. I was informed that the Joint Ways and Means staff and the legislative staff and LFO was going to monitor the situation, and actually they did in 2013. Several of the committee are on the Ways and Means in 2013, and your subcommittees, you started seeing the agency's report on vacant positions. Let's go back to 2011 to show what the problem was for those that weren't here or, like me, probably don't remember back to 2011. The number of vacants budgeted that year was reported at 4,475. Realize that each position is basically $200,000, counting benefits, when you start doing the budgeting, including benefits, too. And that agencies, when they ask for that many people, the Ways and Means process gives them money for that position at that time. You'll see on OLIS, I hope you've read the two press articles about this. And also, I provided you a current list of vacant positions from LFO to point out this is still a problem. From back in 2011, the Oregonian article reported that the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority, which employed the largest number of state workers, had 1,648 vacant positions. 14% of their authorized workforce, so multiply each of those by $200,000. It's a lot of millions of dollars that we've been giving to state agencies for personnel to do a job, but they're not there, and they get to keep the money. When I researched this, I found there was a concern that agencies would use the vacant position funding as a slush fund to offset requests for personnel or expenditure reductions or to pay employees more. I tried to introduce my initiative again in 2015 with House Bill 2856, did not receive a hearing. I'm sure that, Madam Chair, you weren't the chair then of rules. It would. House Bill 2856 in the 2015 session, the one thing I did work with LFO, and we came up with a procedure outlined and reviewed by LFO, which is because people said, how are you going to take the money away, Gene? Well, we came up with a system that could do it in each quarter that the checks go out. You could take that money from an agency and put it back in the general fund maybe education, maybe health care, wherever. But we could take that money away from an agency that had not funded the position. So this year, I see that a lot of the committee's members are on Ways and Means. We're looking at trying to find reductions and savings in the state budget. And we're supposed to be looking for savings and reductions in agency budgets. I gave you a handout that was part of the subcommittee, Representative Barbara Smith Warner from your committee. That if you noticed in those that are on Ways and Means, if you noticed each agency's coming in and they're giving us 15, asked to come up with 15% reductions, right? So the page you have shows one of the education. It's not a, I don't know if that's Department of Education, but they're showing that they're saving money. Their reduction is that they're going to go from filling vacant positions from 60 days to 120 days. So in committee, I ask them, well, wait a minute. If you don't need it for 4 months, what, you know, you probably don't need the position. And the point is they're giving this as a reduction, but the money's not going away. They're just saying it's a possibility. So I would ask the agencies that are doing that, remember, you got the money, now show us the reductions, if they can really do this. So the bill is asking that we put the policy that LFO and the co-chairs have said they're working on, and they're working on that. Co-chair of the education, Representative Barbara Smith Warner, can tell you they're looking for reductions. They really are looking for savings they have to come up with. So I think that we need to put this in statute and not just exercise it when we're looking at a budget crisis. The bill allows the state agency director to retain an unfilled vacant position for 6 months with specific or valid reasons for retaining the position. I would submit to you, Madam Chair and committee members, that the 10 here is just, if you've got a vacant position for 6 months, you shouldn't be using that money for other than what that position is. Thus, I urge you to consider this. I don't really know how we could amend it or make it better. The agencies have, they can justify it, or come in and justify it if they need to keep it for six. And this is not counting, some of this is not seasonal workers and things like that, or, you know, that's, we understand that situation. So thus, I ask you to pass the legislation, and I'm available for questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions on this
bill? All didn't like it.
Thanks, Representative Wisnett. Bring this one back from the cobwebs a little bit, and as I recall that there, you know, when we looked into this last time, that oftentimes agencies will have a program that starts halfway through the biennium, or maybe, you know, somewhere down the road, and that there, though the budget authorization is there, the limitations there, but they haven't actually authorized the money to go to the agency, so they really don't have a slush fund. The money stays in the general fund until they actually fill that position. They have to, you know, fill that position before the money actually transfers out of the general fund. So I, you know, is that, you know, because some agencies have, you know, you said we're not talking about seasonal workers, but there's also programs that, you know, are set on a different time schedule, and, you know, like firefighting season for, I guess that might be seasonal, but for some, but, you know, I guess that's just an example. And it's just my understanding that there really isn't a slush fund that the agency is holding, that these monies are actually in the general fund, and it takes the legislature to authorize it to be spent.
Madam Chair and Representative Hovey, thank you for the question. I think we passed it. I think you voted for it. That's part of our negotiation, but
I think your recollection may be correct, but
no. But if you, the chart you have, the current chart from LFO, it addresses a lot of those things that they would be exempt from the bill, and it's my understanding that, like, if you get money for a quarter, and that quarter you have a vacant position, it's been long for 6 months or so, the money is there, and you could redirect that money the next quarter.
Thank you very much.
Just in closing, Madam Chair, if I can say that, you know, especially for this this budget problem or this crisis or whatever you want to call it. I know the co-chairs are working on that. The co-co-chairs and the co-subcommittee chairs are looking at positions. A position, again, $200,000. Every one of those that, you know, you can reduce, you do 10 of those is $2 million. That's pay a lot of the bills we're looking at. That would provide the money. That would provide money for more teachers and smaller classrooms. So I would really encourage you. So, but thank you for hearing the bill.
Great, thank you. Okay. So do you want to testify on 2946 as well? And we'll call Paula up.
Good.
Madam Chair, Vice Chairs, and Honorable Committee members, thank you for hearing House Bill 2946. Really simple, short bill. It expands the definition of state agency for purposes of the Oregon Transparency website. For the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, State Rep, House District 53. Transparency and accountability. I would bet each legislator at the committee today has stated that they're for transparency and accountability. And each legislator can be proud that Oregon has one of the top four transparency websites in the nation. Top four, not the bottom four, the top four. You're in OLIS, there's a copy of the rankings, but it, for some reason, it's not North Carolina. It's Ohio, Indiana, and Wisconsin are above Oregon. And Oregon has an A rating. This was as of 2015. We're 3.5 points behind Ohio for number one. A little background, looking back. The 2009 legislative session, not like the 2011, the House was 36 Democrats and 24 Republicans, a supermajority. However, Representative Kim Thatcher, at that time representative, and I introduced House Bill 2500, but we gained chief co-sponsors, Representative Arnie Roblin, now Senator, Representative Jefferson Smith, we're not sure where Jefferson is right now, and Senator Richard Devlin. Not Fox.
It's not.
Not Fox. is...
The understatement of the year.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. The final bill passed the House, 60 votes in the House and 30 yes votes in the Senate. Committee chair and committee members, state DAS took on the challenge to produce a website. With dedication to mission, hard work, professionalism, and no dedicated funding, they have produced the fourth best state transparency website in the nation. There's only one area that is keeping us from receiving a better rating to be one, two, or three, or hopefully one, is we do not report on public, private, semi-public entities which receive state funds. I've given you a copy on OLIS of the rankings to show you that it is in writing. And then I gave you a copy of the criteria for a transparency program. That mentions the lack of reporting by semi-private organizations. Most of this comes from the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, which listed this. The bill simply redefines a state agency for the purpose of the Oregon Transparency website to include semi-independent state agencies. I'm about to close, but you're going to hear testimony today from Paula Newsom. Paula is the Oregon Transparency Manager, Program Manager, in the Office of the State Chief Information Officer. I've worked with Paula for some time because I'm on the Transparency Commission with Senator Devlin and Senator Thatcher and Senator, another senator and another representative. But her work on this website has been outstanding. She even takes on the responsibility of answering questions when people call her up and ask her how to do this or whatever. She does that on her own. So, great state employee, and she's going to discuss our website, our ranking, and how this bill clarifies the state agency term. In conclusion, Madam Chair and committee members, this is not a political bill. but a response to citizens by all legislators, all parties, that we support transparency and accountability of our work. Please pass House Bill 2946 and join me. The bill's only got two sponsors, and Senator Thatcher is a sponsor of the bill to make it bipartisan. I'd love to have all the members of this committee. Thank you.
Representative,
wait, can we do questions after?
I wanted to sponsor your bill.
Oh, good. Okay. You did it before. That would be consistent. I'm sorry. I'm sure. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Williamson and committee members. For the record, my name is Paula Newsom. I work for the Office of the State Chief Information Officer as the Oregon Transparency Program Manager. I'm here today to provide informational testimony. Currently, the position of the Office of the State CIO on this bill is neutral. Historically, in 2009, the Oregon Transparency Program and website were launched with the passing of House Bill 2500. Data and information currently provided through the website are primarily from state agencies as defined in ORS 184.480. House Bill 2500 also created the Transparency Oregon Advisory Commission to advise the Department of Administrative Services regarding creation, content, and operation of the Oregon Transparency website. This commission is composed of 9 members, 2 senators, 2 representatives, 2 members of the general public, 1 member from an executive branch, 1 from the Department of Administrative Services, and 1 from the Legislative Fiscal Office. Before the implementation of House Bill 2500, the formation of the Oregon Transparency Advisory Commission and the Oregon Transparency Program, Oregon had a below average national rating of 59% in 2010. In 2011, after formation of the commission, Oregon increased its ranking to 82% or a B-. Through the advisement of the Transparency Oregon Advisory Commission, the Oregon Transparency Program and website have steadily improved in the national rankings and received a 93.5, basically an A- in 2014. In 2016, the Oregon Transparency Program and website was among 4 states that received a ranking of 100% or an A+. This national ranking is provided through the United States Public Interest Research Group, which provides an independent voice on behalf of the public interest to protect consumers and promote good government. They conduct an annual survey that specifically ranks state transparency websites and publishes a Following the Money report. The United States Public Interest Research Group recommends that public access to information on spending, contracts, subsidies, tax expenditures, etc., be provided through a state transparency website or portal from all government entities, independent agencies, and also quasi-public agencies. The Transparency Oregon Advisory Commission is working to align with this standard through its current vision, draft, and goals. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today, and please let us know if you have any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions? All right, thank you.
Madam Chair,
Yes.
Thank you. Also, I just gave you a cover page. Real simple, the website is oregon.gov/transparency. And our DAS staff and under Mrs. Newsom's leadership, Paula's leadership, they've done a lot of work with no dedicated funding, and they're taking the FTEs. They're not vacant positions. They're taking it out of hides, so these people are doing double jobs that are helping do this. But if you go on the Senator Devlin uses it all the time, and he goes on it. But if you go on, it's linking. They've done a great job of linking, and Paula keeps working to make it more user-friendly. And the new feature on the you can receive updates on what we're doing. You see in the middle where it says subscribe. So it's a great source for legislators and the public to know where their money is going and how it's being spent. So I think this is a simple bill that clarifies that we need to have not just eight state agencies, but all people that are doing business, the quasi. We got the definition. LC worked with DAS and myself to come up with that definition so it would include who we needed to. Thank you.
For all of your work on this, both of you.
Any questions?
You know, Madam Chair, I just wanted to echo you and say thank you to both of you. Representative Wisnett, 10 years of work, and I just think it's fantastic. Shows what one guy pushing against a big rock can accomplish over 10 years. So, and it is a big rock, and I think it's a very good site. It's very helpful, and I want to thank you both.
Madam,
have our grade without you, so thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative McClain. And Representative Hobie, I'll have the paperwork down tomorrow for you to sign on.
No problem.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2225, close the public hearing on House Bill 2945.
46.
Thank you. So we are going to change things around a little bit. I have to ask one question of a committee member. Do you want to announce what we're doing? Okay. So, Aaron, what are we going to do with 2577?
I believe we're going to carry that over. Madam Chair, members of the committee, and I will have the chair just announce this. I believe we're going to carry over House Bill 2577 till Thursday.
Yes, we are. We're waiting for a fiscal.
And then, Madam Chair, members of the committee, we do have one LC introduction and one other work session scheduled for this afternoon.
All right. Thank you. So with that, we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2289.
9-8.
9-8. Sorry. Jeez, Louise.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, that was my mistake. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I put the wrong number down. House Bill 2298 clarifies requirement that all candidates who will appear on a primary or general election ballot file statements of economic interest. We heard this bill originally on February 14th. It comes to you with no revenue and no fiscal impact.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2298. To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McClain has moved House Bill 2298 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Not, motion passes. Carrier. Don't all avoid my eye contact.
Dan? Shouldn't Dan?
Dan?
Whose bill is it? Is it Dan's bill?
It's not Dan's bill. Governor's bill. I'll carry it.
Perfect.
I think
you'd be wonderful.
Thanks. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2298. I'm going to open a work session for the introduction of committee measures.
Madam Chair, I move LC. Thank you,
Aaron. We're struggling today.
I move LC 4232 be introduced as a committee measure. I want to commend you, Madam Chair, on letting us know that it came at your request.
It did come at my request.
Appreciate that. And as always, Not having read the measure, I support this as a courtesy, and then reserving judgment later. Thank you.
Vice Chair McClain moves LC 4232 to be introduced as a committee measure. Any discussion? Any objection? All right. If not, LC is introduced. With that, I will close the work session. And Aaron, is there anything left?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we have one more scheduled public hearing, House Bill 2333.
Right. Thank you. Sorry, that was in the back. I'm just going to struggle all day today, apparently. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2333.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2333 allows state agency that is unable to sell state property or equitable interest in state property after following certain procedures for sale to continuously offer property or equitable interest for sale by any means the agency considers appropriate. It requires the state agency to repeat certain procedures for sale if sales efforts by agency have been discontinued for 12 months or more.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Baker.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, Lindsay Baker with the Department of Administrative Services. I appreciate the opportunity to testify this afternoon. As staff just indicated, this is a relatively simple, straightforward housekeeping bill. It truly is that. Under current law, whenever a state agency has surplus real property, we engage in a very specific notice process that pursuant to statute. We notify local governments that this property is now available for sale. We notify our tribal partners, different nonprofits, and again, that's set in statute. After that notification period elapses, then it opens up this sort of 18-month window. Right now it is unclear from the language of the statute what needs to take place in this 18-month window. Are we talking about the sale needs to conclude full sale during this 18-month period, or we merely have to begin actively marketing it in this 18-month period? So we are requesting, House Bill 2333 says that we have to begin marketing within this 18-month period. If for whatever reason it takes longer than 18 months to sell, which it sometimes does, we do not have to go back to the beginning and re-notice it, but we can merely continue to market it during that time. If for whatever reason we take it off the market, as it were, stop marketing it for a period of 12 months, then we would have to go back and re-notice it from the beginning. That is all the remarks that I have prepared, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks. Can you elaborate a little bit on that process? Does, you know, just out of curiosity, does the state use realtors in this pursuit? Do they operate as their own? Do they sell it on behalf of themselves?
Sure. Chair Williamson, Representative Holvey. So I am not the expert on this. My understanding is that we would engage in, just general notice requirements. I think that in some cases we would look to a professional realtor. But I will ask Darren Brightman, who's with our Enterprise Asset Management Division, who would really be doing the work for this, to talk in a little bit more detail.
Good afternoon. For the record, Darren Brightman, Oregon Department of Administrative Services. Am I not close enough? Thank you. In answer to your question, it depends. The procedure that is specified in statute requires a public notice in a local newspaper of general circulation for 3 weeks in succession. And after that, assuming there are no responses to that are negotiated, agencies can use any commercially reasonable means. That could be an agent, that could be going out with a request for proposals, that could be, for example, in the case of Mill Creek Corporate Center, we market in combination, in hand-in-hand with the SEDCOR, Strategic Economic Development Corporation. So it really depends on the situation. It could even mean an auction, depending on the property.
Mm-hmm. Follow up. So in those depending situations where DAS does choose to use a realtor, how do they pick it through an RFP process each time, or do they have a standing relationship with certain realtors that they use? How do the realtors qualify for that?
It's very rare that we do that. DAS actually uses a realtor for properties that we are selling. Other agencies may. If we were likely to do more, we would probably do as we have done with appraisers, which is to put out a request for proposals. Or actually a request for qualifications and establish a list we could work from.
Okay.
and then work through them that way. So when we have used brokers, that's the process we have used, is to do a request for proposals or request for qualifications to find someone experienced with a particular type of property, particular market, etc.
Other questions? All right. Thank you both very much. With that, I will close our public hearing on House Bill 2333. Is there anything I missed, Erin?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, no, with the carryover 2577, we are complete for the day.
All right, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
We are complete for the day.
All right, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Over 2577.